Chaf Hey Omer Aleph, the Mishnah. It says, Shluchei Mitzvah, Peturin Min Hasukah. So what are Shluchei Mitzvah? Yeah, it means people that are sent to perform a mitzvah. So are they doing a mitzvah right now? It doesn't say how Isaac be mitzvah. It doesn't say how a person's doing a mitzvah. It says Shluchei Mitzvah. Those who are being sent to do a mitzvah. So Rashi writes, Holchei Bederech Mitzvah. People that are on the way to do a mitzvah. Kagoyin Lilmud Torah, for example, to learn Torah. V'lehag v'panei Rabbi, or to greet his Rebbe. V'liftei Shvuyim, and to redeem captives. So these are all people that are on their way to do something. You can't really do the mitzvah until you get there. But either... help me out here. Why are they exempt if they're on their way? They're not... Are they considered doing a mitzvah because that's the only way to get there is by going? So they're considered actually to be doing the mitzvah already? Or is the getting there something else? But you hear the question, right? In other words, if the issue here, or if the heter, the exemption from sukkah, is because we have a principle of a person doing a mitzvah is exempt from another mitzvah or something like that, so then this person is not yet osek b'mitzvah, is he? So unless you want to argue that, well, he got to get there, right? So maybe we would argue that you got to get there somehow. Usually we have a category called a hechsher mitzvah, right? That, for example, building a sukkah. Is building a sukkah a mitzvah?
Oh, yeah.
So it's not really. Did you make a bracha? Yeah, let's shave a sukkah. So if you don't build it, can you still fulfill the mitzvah? Right, but you don't have to build a sukkah. Somebody's got to. What? But that's really the question, right? You don't make a bracha when you build your sukkah.
No, but I mean, how are you going to fulfill the mitzvah? How are you going to fulfill the mitzvah of like candles?
Right.
So technically, it's all encompassed within.
You need to buy menorah. You need to build the sukkah. Well, you don't need to. I don't think you need to build the sukkah.
You have to have one. You have to get one. You have to eat in it. You know. So somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to do it, or else you're not going to have one. But it doesn't mean necessarily it's a mitzvah. So that's generally the category we call hechsher mitzvah. Hechsher mitzvah means making the mitzvah possible, doing whatever you need to do to procure the objects or whatever it is. Hechsher mitzvah. So here, that's what it sounds like we're talking about. It sounds like we're talking about a hechsher mitzvah, on your way to do a mitzvah. So we'll have to see. But that's what Rashi said. But you're in a sukkah, a person that's on his way, shluchei mitzvah, are exempt from sukkah. So you'll say, well, I mean, unless you're going to be like, you know, a Lubavitcher's got a sukkah on top of his car, like, how are you going to do that? You're traveling. So Rashi says, perhaps it's obvious, maybe not, that when you're traveling, you're exempt. But Rashi writes, afilu v'sha'as chaniyasan. What's chaniyasan? When they're camping. Even at the time when they're at rest. So even when they're in their hotel room, it sounds like since they're shluchei mitzvah, they're defined as shluchei mitzvah, so they're exempt.
What does that mean?
So yeah, if it gets too cold, we can just close it all the way. Could you close all the way? So maybe someone might like close one window while the door partially open. I don't know. Yes, we is. The door allows the whole airflow. Should we try it this way? Door mostly closed and one window open? We'll see. No? Okay. Okay. So that's the first part of the Mishnah. Choylin, Umisham Shehan, people who are themselves sick, and also those who are Mishamesh them. Right? This is like in Yoni Chanukah, right? The Shamish. Misham Shehan. The people who serve them, the helpers, the caretakers. So they are all Peturim in a sukkah, exempt from sukkah. Ochlin, Vishosin, Arai, Chutz, L'sukkah. And this, I don't know, is this related? And you can eat and drink Arai. Arai means like, you know, there's a keva and Arai, like opposites, right? So, yeah, Nash, that's a good one. So there's like a meal, and then there's, as Albert put it, Nash, snacks. Chutz, L'sukkah, that you're allowed to eat outside of the sukkah. Wait. But that is something that they just said, right? We're not saying that the people that are exempt from sukkah are allowed to just nosh, right? I mean, they're exempt, right? But they'd be exempt anyway. No, this is true for every person, correct? This is for every person. But people are shluchei mitzvah, or chol, and misham sheyen, so they seemingly can have meals and everything outside the sukkah. It's not just that they're allowed to snack. But FYI, even a person who's not in one of the above categories still has the right to snack and nosh outside the sukkah. Okay. Minohane mile, how do you know this? What's this? So, as a rule, the Gemara goes by the first phrase of the Mishnah to the last phrase of the Mishnah. So when you have a real question, Minanimilei, the assumption is it's on the first part of the Mishnah, not the middle or not the end, right? So assumingly, Minanimilei means, how do you know that Shluchei Mitzvah are putter from a Mitzvah? So what is the Gemara answer? The Tana Rabbanan. We are taught, Braisa, B'shivtecha b'veisecha, Prat l'oisek b'mitzvah, U'v'lechtecha v'aderech, Prat l'chasan. Okay, let's try our best to work this out. So the Gemara says, I know that people that are being sent to do a mitzvah are exempt from sukkah because of a pasuk in Shema. What does the pasuk in Shema have to do with anything? So the pasuk in Shema says that these words, you have to learn Torah, or you have to say Shema, maybe. Those are the two possibilities, right? Either we're talking about just saying Shema, or we're talking about learning Torah. That is, the shift of the way right there. So, what does the shift of the way right there mean? You have to do it when you're sitting in your house, and you have to do it when you're on the road, on the way. So the Gemara says, okay, that's excluding something, because you don't have to say that. All you needed to say was, say it. What? It sounds like if you say, and you have to say it when you're in your house, and you have to say it when you're on the way. So on the one hand, we would say, oh, well, that means all the time, because either I'm in my house or I'm on the way. Where else would I be? Man, I could be somewhere else. So it sounds like it's an exclusion. You know what I mean by that? On the one hand, the first time you read it, without thinking too much, you say to yourself, oh, this is all-inclusive. But it doesn't mean it's all-inclusive. Because if it was all-inclusive, first of all, it would have said nothing. And second of all, there is someplace other than when you're in your house or on the way. You could be somewhere else. So it sounds like when you're somewhere else, you don't have to say it. So the Gemara says, you're right. They are exclusions. You have to say Kriya Shema B'shivtecha B'veisecha. You have to say Kriya Shema V'lechtecha V'aderech. But you don't say Kriya Shema Prat L'Oisek B'mitzvah. B'shivtecha B'veisecha excludes a person that's doing a mitzvah. V'lechtecha V'aderech. And when he's walking on the way, Prat L'Chasan excludes a Chasan. Now that is extremely hard to understand. And there are gears that maybe switch them to the opposite. Maybe Shivtecha B'veisecha means when you're in your house, which excludes a Chasan. And maybe V'lechtecha V'aderech means it excludes a person who's doing a mitzvah. But whatever it is, the way we have our Gemara is V'shivtecha b'veisecha means not when you're sick b'mitzvah, and V'lechtecha v'aderech is prat l'chosam. Mikan amru, from here they said, Hakoneis es abasula, if a person kones is means he enters, meaning he marries. So he brings into his house, Hakoneis, he brings into his house abasula, pater, he's exempt from Shema, V'es almana, but if a woman he marries, the woman he brings into his house is an almana. What's an almana? A widow, a woman who's been married before, chayiv. He's chayiv in Kriya Shema. Basula means a virgin. For our purposes, it just means that she's never had bia before. So as we'll see, a person that's marrying a basula, so he's tarud. His mind is all. He's very anxious. He's very nervous. But if it's an almana, so then he's more relaxed. She's done this before. My mashma. Well, how do you translate my mashma? So mashma means the implication, right? So my mashma is like, where is this implied? Like, how do you see this in the pasuk? That there's some sort of person who's doing a mitzvah, is exempt from a mitzvah. Then we have to make another jump, by the way, it would seem. We're talking about shluchei mitzvah. The person's not even doing the mitzvah, is being sent to do the mitzvah. So that seems to be a jump already, what we're talking about. Okay, so what do we say so far? So the Mishnah has a case of shluchei mitzvah. They're exempt from sukkah. The Gemara says, how do you know? The Gemara answers because of a pasuk in Kriya Shema that you don't have to say Kriya Shema. You're exempt from Kriya Shema, it seems, when you are not in your house and we're not going on the way, which excludes two things according to the Braisa. It excludes a person that's Osek B'mitzvah and a person that's troubled, he's tarud, like a chasan, in perhaps the thoughts or something like that of the mitzvah that he's involved in. So, my mashma, where do you see this in the pasuk exactly? From where is this implied? Amar Rav Huna said kederech, because all of this has to do with a derech. What do you mean? It says v'shivdecha b'beisecha v'lechdecha v'derech. So, we would have viewed it as two separate phrases. Shivdecha b'beisecha, when you're in your house, you're obligated. And v'lechdecha v'derech, when you're on the way, on the road, you're obligated. The Gemara is saying there's a hekesh. That even when we talk about shivtecha b'beisecha, it's connected to a v'lechtecha v'derech. What do you want from me so far? It's hard to understand. So the Gemara says there's a derech thing going on here. What do you mean? What's a derech thing? Ma derech rishus. Just like derech means you're on your way, you're going to do whatever you want. Av kol rishus. That means whenever a person is doing something that's what he wants, anything that's optional, anytime he's involved in just a rishus, he's obligated. La fuke, hi, which excludes these categories, or the guys that are shluchei mitzvah, the b'mitzvah asuk, that they're involved, they are busy with a mitzvah. Okay, so let me get this straight. So, shivtecha b'beisecha v'lechtecha v'derech means that when you're doing something that's just optional, you can live in your house all you want, okay, and that's connected to v'lechtecha v'derech, that a person's like traveling. So you don't get the implication that he's traveling specifically for any reason. So it just means he's like doing his regular thing. He's living at home like he always does. That's just the way he lives. V'lechtecha v'derech, and that's connected to derech. And derech implies like, you know, you're just on the way, do whatever he wants, you know, hanging out, chilling, going, whatever. But if he actually has like a specific direction, he's not at home because he's, I don't know, he's learning yeshiva, I don't know, he's on the way, or he's on his way to actually do a mitzvah or something like that. He's not just doing what he wants, but he's maybe obligated for some reason to do it, maybe that's what it means. So then he's exempt. The Gemara shoots back. Mila eskinan tika'azal ledivar mitzvah. A person is not busy when he's going to a divar mitzvah. Ka'amar Rahmana Likri, and the terrorist says he should read. How do you read this? Milo askinan de ka'azil le divar mitzvah. Milo askinan, who says we're not dealing with de ka'azil, a person that is going le divar mitzvah, to do a thing that's a mitzvah. Ka'amar Rahmana, and the Merciful One says, Likri, read. Okay, that's a literal translation. What the Gemara is saying is, how do you know we're not talking about a derech where a person's on his way to do a mitzvah? Why are you assuming that derech means optional? The word derech means optional? Who says we're not dealing with a person that's going, meaning he's on the derech, to a devar mitzvah? V'kam rachmana likri, and the Torah is telling that person also has to read. Yes, you see how to read that? It's a little bit confusing to read that line in the Gemara. But the Gemara is saying, who says we're not dealing with a person that's on a derech to a dvar mitzvah? V'kam rachmana likri, and the Torah is telling that person also to read Kriya Shema. How do you know? Just because it says derech means optional, but if he's doing something he's obligated, then he's exempt. Shoots back the Gemara, Yim Kain, if you're right, the derech means even for a dvar mitzvah, and he's obligated Kriya Shema even if he's on his way to do a mitzvah. Lema kra b'sheves uvaleches. B'sheves b'leisecha. B'leches v'derech. Or something like that. Or just b'sheves when he's sitting. B'leches and when he's going. My b'shevtecha. Uvalechtecha. Oh, okay. So in other words, derech, we're going to leave aside for a second. But it says b'shevtecha. Uvalechtecha. You're sitting and you're going. As opposed to what? As opposed to something that you're not doing because of yourself. V'lechtecha v'derech means that, I mean, we would have said it just means that he's going on his way, you know? But it could have said, v'leches v'derech. V'leches v'derech, when a person is going on the way. What do you mean, v'lechtecha v'derech? And then you're going on your way. What's that nuance of you're going on the way? That you're going for yourself.
I'm just trying to imply that it's like an optional thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Why? I don't see that. Meaning, like, everyone, like, for example, we all are individuals, so we all have our own specific way. So, like, why is it so wrong saying your way?
Well, the only reason is because if there's a simpler way to say it, then why didn't it say it in a simpler way? Just say uvalechas v'derek. And when a person is going, why does it have to be when you're going?
Is that not specific enough? Then when a person's going, you don't.
That's it. Talking about everyone. Whenever a person's going, so that's it. A person's obligated. Why does it say when you are going? You specifically, you. I mean, because you're doing it for yourself, not the way you're doing it. Vilachas means everyone is going. So everyone in general, it's a very abstract statement. So when everyone is going, wherever they're going, you know, they're obligated. Vilachcha means you're going. He may not be going. He may not even have to go. Because it's optional. It's you're going. You're doing because you want to do it. He doesn't have to do it. Who says he has to? Vilachcha. So as the Gemara says, so if you're right, then it means if he's on his way to do a mitzvah, whatever it is, then he's obligated, then he should have said, my bishop, you're sitting, you're going. Now when he's going, for himself, his own going, is when he is obligated. But if he's going because he's obligated to, because there's a mitzvah, Pitziras, he's exempt. Okay, so far we have this idea that Osek b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah, and it doesn't say he's actually doing a mitzvah. It sounds like he's even on the way to do something. So if he's on his way to do something, that's an optional thing, so he's obligated. If he's on his way to do a mitzvah, it sounds like not only when he's doing the mitzvah, but even on his way to do the mitzvah, he's exempt as well. That's what it sounds like. Ihachi, if you're right, that what? That a person that's on his way to do something that's optional, then he is obligated. If he's on his way to do something that's a mitzvah, he's exempt. Afilu kainas es almana nami. So if he marries, he brings into his house a widow and almana, also, he should be what? He should be chayev or he should be pater? So what's he doing? Is there a mitzvah involved here, or is this a reshus? That's what we first of all need to answer. So if he marries an almana, is there no mitzvah? So this is confusing because there are 2 points here. There's the marriage, and then there's pruervu, and there may not be pruervu in every case. So let's work it through. So 3 things. Number one, is the marriage itself a mitzvah? Well, guys, he's already married, so we're not talking about the chuppah. We're not talking about the kiddushin. We're not talking about bringing her into his house. He did it already. That's finished. He doesn't have to have bia with her. So that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the marriage per se. Because FYI, that happens to be a machlokus rishonim, if marriage per se is a mitzvah or a hechsher mitzvah. There are those rishonim that are of the opinion, like the Rush, for example, in Ksuvis, that marriage is a hechsher mitzvah of pruervu. You're not supposed to have babies with a woman until you marry her. So you got to marry her to have babies. So it's a hechsher mitzvah for pruervu. The Rambam, on the other hand, writes that there's a mitzvah to get married. There's a mitzvah to get married. Independent of whether there's pruervu or not, there's a mitzvah. Ki yigach yishesha, getting married. But we're not dealing with that now, because he did that already. He already married her. So then what's going on here? The bia. The bia is the issue. So on the one hand, that's pruervu, because that's how you have kids. Or it could be, maybe she's too old. Maybe she can't even have babies. Who knows what the story is, you know? Maybe he already fulfilled the mitzvah of pruervu with another wife. So then there's another mitzvah. There's a mitzvah called ona. There's a mitzvah that a man has obligations to his wife. So it's also possibly a mitzvah. Yeah. God forbid. Okay, fine. You mean at the same time or different times? Oh, different times.
A boy and a girl, each one of them.
No, no.
Once you have a girl and a boy.
A girl and a boy, maybe. 2 boys and a girl, whatever. Yeah, whatever exactly the shitos are, right.
Yeah.
But okay. It depends on them coming from you. It has nothing to do with a specific wife, right. Yeah, no, that the man has produced those, you know, enough children to be yotzei.
Even besides for Aino, wouldn't... it be like derech mitzvah?
What's the mitzvah?
If the mitzvah was proven,
if there's proof,
then wouldn't you being with your wife be like a derech mitzvah? Because in order for that mitzvah to be attained, you need this new.
You mean the baby's not born yet? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, the baby's not born yet, and you're not sure if every single time that something that this goes down, your child.
Yeah,
be
but that would be osek bar mitzvah. Osek bar mitzvah. Technically, yeah.
No, I'm not talking about marriage itself.
The bia itself, he's saying. The bia itself is the process of producing a child. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's work this out. You just told me from the Braisa that a konis as a besula is pater, but an almana is chayav. How does that make any sense? The whole issue here is osek b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah. So is he osek b'mitzvah? He's not osek b'mitzvah. So first of all, he's not having beer right now. We're talking about the night that he gets married. You know, they're schmoozing in the hotel room. So is he chayav in Kriya Shema or is he pater from Kriya Shema? So we'll see. The Gemara is going to call this tarud b'machsheves mitzvah. We'll see it in Mamash in a second. That he's troubled by the thoughts of the mitzvah because he's very anxious. He's very nervous. So because of that, the Gemara, the Brisa had a distinction between a chasana and an almana. But wait a minute. If he's involved in a mitzvah over here, what's the difference if she's a basula or an almana? At the end of the day, it's a mitzvah. Either it's a mitzvah of pruervu, or maybe it's a mitzvah of oina. But at the end of the day, it's a mitzvah. So the Gemara asks, ihachi, if he's exempt, because he's involved in a mitzvah, what's the difference between afilu koines es almana nami? Even if he brought into his house an almana, also he should be exempt from Kriya Shema. Answers the Gemara, koines es a basula tarid, one who brings into his house a basula is troubled, he's bothered, he's anxious. Koines almana le tarid, but one who brings in an almana is not anxious, he's not troubled. So the Gemara introduced a new concept here of the tirda de mitzvah. Osek b'mitzvah is one thing. You have to get from here to there to accomplish the mitzvah. So, okay, there's a shluche mitzvah, there's a traveling, but you have to get there. So you're considered, David, you may not be doing the mitzvah yet, but you're considered osek b'mitzvah because that's how you're going to get it done. That's what the Gemara Pashup Shah, right? That's what Gemara seems to be saying, is that even though you're not doing the actual mitzvah, osek b'mitzvah doesn't involve the actual mitzvah. It involves whatever is necessary to get it done. So if you got to travel, you got to travel. You're osek b'mitzvah. Fair enough? Agree? Yeah, I win. So that's what osek b'mitzvah seems to mean so far. But now the Gemara is introducing a problem. Because wait a minute, is he osek b'mitzvah when he's hanging out schmoozing in the hotel room at night, or he's not osek b'mitzvah? He's not doing anything yet! Where's the osek? So the Gemara answers, you're right. That's what's called tirda de mitzvah. This anxiety that he has, the fact that he's troubled about it, apparently somehow is also connected. Says the Gemara, what is that? What's tirda de mitzvah? Maybe you're trying to suggest that any time a person is so troubled by his thoughts, he has such anxiety, hachinami depater, so here also he's going to be exempt? So nu, elameyat, rather from now, once you say that there's some concept called his mind is just so adamant, he can't focus on a mitzvah, maybe he's exempt from mitzvahs in general. Tavas finase bayam, sank his ship in the sea. Ditarit, where he's certainly going to be very troubled. Right? His whole Parnassa just sank, chas v'shalom, into the ocean. Rachman al-Itzlan. Hachinami, depater. Here also you'll say he's exempt from Kriya Shema because he's pushed just out of his mind.
Why by having a mon are you not going to be tarred by Basuli? You will be?
Well, it depends, right? If we're talking about the Bia itself, so he has confidence that she knows what she's doing. So he's not going to be nervous about the whole thing. If it's a basula, he's never done it before. So there's a nervousness, anxiety. And if you'll say, yeah, you're right. If a person, Rachmana Litzlan, has a big disaster in his life, and now he can't focus his mind, maybe he's exempt from saying Kriya Shema. Can't be. How do you know? Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Rabbi Zavda said, Omar Rav, he heard from Rav, Avel, what's an Avel? You can't use the definition. Yeah, a mourner. A person who is in Avelus is sitting Shiva. Avel Chaya b'chol ha-mitzvah samuris b'terah. A mourner is Chaya in all the mitzvahs that are said in the Torah. Chutz, minat tefillin. Except for tefillin. Shreinem rabahen pe'er. Because it says that they're called splendor. So, you know, we don't have to get involved in that whole sugya. Now that's interesting. If you have a person who had a loss and his parents, one of them died, and the same day they end up getting married, so he's exempt from tefillin that day of the kvura and the misa. Okay. Then he has to put them on afterward. Hacha. Wait, so what just happened? So an avel, the assumption is, an avel is pretty, his mind is not with him. That's the assumption, right? Especially if we're talking about the day of the misa and the kvura. So his mind is going to be all over the place. He's going to be tarred. So is he obligated in mitzvahs or not obligated in mitzvahs? Well, if you're going to tell me that any person whose mind is not with him, so he doesn't have to do mitzvahs, then how could Rav Rezav, the same name of Rav, that he's chayiv in all the mitzvahs of the Torah except for tefillin? Obviously, he's obligated in all the mitzvahs of the Torah, including Kriya Shema and everything else. So, what's going on? How can you say he's exempt because of tirda? He's not. He's certainly tarid. So, your answers: tarid, tirda, de mitzvah, hasam, hacha tarid, tirda, de mitzvah, hasam, tarid, tirda, de rishus. That here, he's tarid with a tirda, de mitzvah. And there, Hassam, there, Tarid is bothered with Tirta de Dershas about trouble that has to do with optional things. In which cases, which? So when you're talking about the Chassan, say he's obligated, he's Tarid with a Tirta de Mitzvah. When you're talking about a person in Avelus, okay, you know, that's his, he's troubled, but he's not obligated to do that. He's in mourning. He's just the way he is. If a person, Rachman Litzan, loses his Parnasa, he's Tarid. But again, it's an optional thing, so to speak. He's not obligated to be Tarid. It's just normal for a human being to be tarried. But it's technically not an obligation of any sort. So that's the Gemara's conclusion. So where do we end up now? That what's the difference between the Basula and the Almana? Right, that's the Gemara started all of this. So let's backtrack for a minute. Gemara said, if you're right that he's exempt, so what's the difference between a Basula and Almana? So the Gemara answered with, there's no tirda by the almana. Right? By the basula, he's tarid, almana, latarid. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. So if he's tarid, then tirda just is the exemption in and of itself. The Gemara says, no, it has to be tirda de mitzvah. So the conclusion of the Gemara is that the original distinction is correct, that there's tirda only by a basula, not by an almana. But the reason why he's exempt because of tirda is not because his mind isn't with him. It's because it's the tirda de mitzvah. Okay. So, before we go on, let's just backtrack for 1 minute. Rashi on the Mishnah gave three examples, if you remember, of Shluchei Mitzvah. Remember what they were? To learn Torah. To greet his Rebbe. And to redeem captives. So, to redeem captives, I guess you could say, is perhaps, you know, Kiyum Daraisa on some level. Learning Torah is Daraisa. What exactly is greeting your Rebbe? What is that? Question is, let's say a person is involved in a mitzvah derabbana. Would you say that he's also exempt from doing another mitzvah de'oraisa? Let's think this through for a minute. A guy decides he wants to go greet his Rebbe on Chol HaMoed, Sukkos. So, got to get there. And his Rebbe lives in another town. It's going to take a while to get there. So, is he chayv in Sukkah or exempt from Sukkah while he's traveling? Even in the hotel at night. What did we say? That's Rashi's example, right? He's exempt from Sukkah, even at night, when he's b'shas chaniyasan, even when they're camping, even when they're sleeping in the hotel. Right? So if you say, well, he's got to get to yeshiva, he's on his way to go learn something, he's on his way to do a daraisa, so we can understand he's exempt from one daraisa because he's involved with a daraisa. Right? So osek b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. So the first question you have to ask yourself is, what does it mean osek b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah? So when you're wearing your talis until you don't have to daven, let's assume davening is a raisa, right? So, what, is it really true? If you wear your talis, you don't have to wear tefillin? For tefillin, you don't have to wear talis? So first of all, it doesn't mean you're allowed to do averos, right? So you can't put on a four-cornered garment without tzitzis. It doesn't mean you're allowed to do averos. But it means you don't have to be makayim a new mitzvah that comes your way, right? So if you're wearing your talis and tefillin, and somebody comes to you and says, can I have tzedakah? Oh, you don't have to get tzedakah because you're wearing talis and tefillin. So in the olden days, when they used to wear talis and tefillin all day long, so no one ever gave tzedakah. No. So what does it mean, oseik b'mitzvah, patur min mitzvah? ABCs. What does that mean just as a starting point? What do you think?
Someone's doing a mitzvah like a real mitzvah. Like
tefillin are a real mitzvah. A very important mitzvah.
No, but like, if you're wearing tefillin and someone comes up to you and asks you for money,
right?
You don't stop wearing tefillin. Oh, still wearing tefillin.
Agree? So when we say oseik mitzvah patur min mitzvah, it doesn't mean that you're involved in a mitzvah that you don't have to do any other mitzvah. What does it mean? If doing the second mitzvah would cause you to stop the first mitzvah, so then you're not, you're at least not obligated. Now, the second question I have to ask, well, are you allowed? But you're not obligated to stop the mitzvah you're involved in for one. Yeah? Okay, so Tosa says that already over here, just like you would have said. Shkoy. You don't, so it only means you don't have to stop doing a mitzvah for another one. Now, isn't that obvious? You're no longer doing the mitzvah. Does that even make sense? You're doing one mitzvah, and you have to have a pasuk to tell you that you don't stop and be mevatel a mitzvah for another mitzvah. Isn't that obvious? So, you know, the Ritva suggests the following. He says, not only do you not have to, but you're not even allowed to. Not even allowed to. Which is interesting, you know, because that really troubles me. When I'm davening sometimes, and some guy comes and asks for tzedakah, I really have to stop davening. Like you have to stop davening to give him tzedakah. And you have to stop your focus. You lose your concentration. You lose your place sometimes. Are you allowed to do that?
You should prepare it by just having a dollar and
if you can, but sometimes also, you know, it depends. It depends how much you're concentrating and, you know, and all these kinds of things. So,
I'm allowed to come and ask for tzedakah if the davening put you in that situation?
Interesting question, right?
That's a good question.
And then they change the while you're davening, they're shaking your face.
So I'm saying, you know, it's not so simple. Like, I love to help people, but, you know, it's not so pasha. It's not so pasha that when you're davening, you're supposed to be focused, you're supposed to have kavana. We don't always have such focus and such kavana. You know, but we should try. And then certain things kill it. So that's a problem. So that's first things first. So Tosfos writes that you should just realize that it doesn't mean if you're wearing tefillin and you don't have to do mitzvahs the rest of the day. It means to say that you have to stop doing it in order to mekayim another mitzvah. You don't have to. Says the Ritva, well, that's obvious. What gives you the right to decide which mitzvah you're going to do? If you're doing a mitzvah, you got to do that mitzvah. You can stop and do another one. Says the Ritva, that's right. You're not allowed. You're not allowed to stop the mitzvah you're doing and decide, well, that's more important. Who are you to decide what's more important? What's this schar for mitzvahs anyway? It's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos, right? What's the punishment for mitzvahs lo sase? Do we know? Do we know which are worse mitzvahs lo sase? Do we know, like, which are better, which are worse in terms of averos? There are punishments. So based on the punishments, we can evaluate what's more severe, correct? But what about mitzvahs? How do you know what mitzvah is more important? Sometimes the mitzvah says you get a rikos yamim. It's true. It's true. So only those mitzvahs you get a rikos yamim.
Well, there's a specific sfar to them, so I don't know if
does it mean in this world?
No, it means in the next world.
So other mitzvahs don't get sfar in the next world?
They probably no, but like they will like I don't know.
Confusing, right? Yeah. So that's the mission of Pirkei Avos that we don't know sfar mitzvahs. We don't know. So what gives us the right to say that mitzvah is more important? I'll stop this one and go do that. Who's the right to say that?
Like maybe it's like who you're interacting with, like one you're interacting with God because you're praying, and one you're interacting with other beings.
So do you have the right to say that?
I think God's very important. So.
So he wins.
So I think he would win.
He would win. You know, Avram Avinu disagreed with you.
Okay.
How do I know?
That doesn't mean.
How do I know? How do I know?
Because he was speaking with God, and then
you got it. So Chazal have this idea that greater is Hachnasas Orachim from Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. You know, so it's interesting.
So
okay.
Fair to draw from there, like, dominating back what I said. Guests come, you're
interesting, alive. Right? So does that apply to davening? You know, interesting. Okay, so these are all things to ponder.
To a lesser extent than Avraham Avinu. But Right? But both cases are lesser extent. For example, like giving stucco, you're not interacting with the Ani, right? You're just giving money that will go to an Ani. And when you're praying to God, you're not having the same interaction. Abba Mavino is having the same interaction with God.
Okay, maybe.
So like they're both lesser extent.
But that all goes for when we're talking about a deraisa versus another deraisa. But what about a derabanan? What about a derabanan? If a person is osek in a mitzvah derabanan, could it possibly be he's exempt from sukkah? Meaning, God never told him to do this, but he wants to do it. So then he doesn't have to fulfill the mitzvah that God told him to do?
Well, God, what are you saying? Like, if I'm doing the mitzvah derabanan,
yeah,
and someone comes and asks me to do a deraisa, you have an opportunity to do a deraisa.
Well, let's make it very concrete. A guy's on his way to greet his Rebbe. Where does it say in the Torah there's a mitzvah to greet your Rebbe?
Nowhere.
We learn it out from the Isha that Elisha, remember he promised her she was going to have a baby. It was a haftarah from a few weeks back. Elisha, nobody promised she would have a baby. The baby dies, and so she goes to greet Elisha, and her husband says, where are you going? It's not Chodesh and it's not Shabbos. Why would she be going if it was Chodesh or Shabbos? Oh, because you're supposed to greet the Rebbe on Chodesh and Shabbos. When it's Yom Tov, when it's a certain time, whatever it is, but apparently there's an Inyan to go greet the Rebbe. Okay, interesting. So in the Navi there's a hint to such a concept. Even there it's not so clear. But at least there's a hint to such a concept. So there are many that say, seems like this is a derabanan. So let's go with that. Let's assume that greeting a Rebbe and Chol HaMoed is a din derabanan. Mitzvah derabanan. You're exempt from sukkah because you're on your way to fulfill a din derabanan? How does that make sense?
Well, if you're saying that God, right, you're saying Hashem didn't give you that mitzvah directly.
That's right.
Right? Well,
did everyone hear the question?
Hashem didn't say that if you're also getting one mitzvah, you shouldn't do the other one either.
Yeah, he did. In Krishna, that's what we just said. Whenever you're involved in something that's your own business, so then you have to say Krishna, I obligated in mitzvahs. But if it's something that I'm telling you to do, if it's a mitzvah, so then you're exempt from Krishna. You're exempt from mitzvahs. Hosek b'mitzvah, pater min mitzvah. So that's what Krishna was telling us. Hosek b'mitzvah, you're pater from another mitzvah. But if you're doing a derabanan, think about it. So Kesher Rebbe said you have to sit in sukkah. The rabbis come along and said you have to greet your Rebbe on Chol HaMoed. Okay, so you go to greet your Rebbe on Chol HaMoed. It takes a couple days to get there. So you sleep in a hotel room. I don't have to sleep in a sukkah. Why didn't I have to sleep in a sukkah? God said I don't have to. No, he didn't. He said you have to. No, he says when I'm doing a mitzvah, I don't have to. You're not doing a mitzvah, you're doing a derabanan. So he says you have to sit in a sukkah. No? Anybody have any suggestions how to get out of this room? But isn't that Rashi's example? Rashi says,
"Don't sleep."
But there's two other derisas there.
Maybe that's why he has this one.
That's now we're trying to like break down what Rashi meant to do.
Yeah, why does he give this example? He gives this example because it's din derabanan, no?
I don't think so.
So one way to say is that it's not derabanan, it's deraisa. You could try to prove that to greet your Rebbe is the deraisa. You could try to prove that. That's one avenue to answer the question. But if you'll assume it's derabanan, which, you know, is definitely the pashut pshat, so then how do you explain this? So one possibility is, why do you have to listen to the rabbis? Who says?
God says.
Okay, where does God say that?
God says that in...
You guys listen to the rabbis, right? Yeah. Good. So who says you have to? What? But then, not all rabbis are Navi, no offense. Chacham Adif mi Navi, but. So Terry says when it comes to Sanhedrin, you have to listen to them. Loi Sasur min Hadavar Asher Yagidu Lecha. Yamin. It was small. Well, it was pretty used this way. But for me, it's this way. Anyway, so Loi Sasur. So at least when it comes to the Sanhedrin, when it comes to, you know, Chazal, when it comes to Klal Yisrael, you know, voting on something or whatever, so then it says, Lo Saser Mina Davar. Is it Asir or Lo Saser? Lo Saser. Lo Tasur. Lo Sasur. Do not swerve from what they tell you right away. So it says, Lo Saser. So, wait a minute. If you do a mitzvah derabanan, you go and you wash your hands before you eat challah. A mitzvah derabanan, right? Wash your hands before you eat bread. Mitzvah derabanan. Are you mekayim a mitzvah deraisa when you do that?
Yeah, because you're following it up. I mean, that's
is that a mitzvah?
That's ridiculous, though.
No. Let's think it through before you say it's ridiculous. Think it through. Are you mekayim a mitzvah? What happens if you don't wash your hands? You just eat bread. Then what did you do wrong?
You didn't follow the rabbis.
Do you violate a deraisa?
Yeah.
Okay, so there it sounds like by not listening to the rabbis, you violated the Torah. Because the Torah says, don't not listen to them. So it's a negative, right? Meaning it says, lo sasur. If they tell you to do it, you can't not. But if you do it, are you mekayim a mitzvah? You know what I'm asking? If you violate the drabanan, there's a possibility at least that you violated a deraisa on a certain level. That would mean a violation of a derabanan is a violation of a deraisa. Which is not so simple, but okay, we can make such an argument at least, right? Because the Torah says, lo sasur, you have to do what they tell you. So if you don't do what they tell you, you violated a lo sase. But if you listen to the rabbis, were you makayim a mitzvah? What mitzvah?
To not listen?
Of the
Rabbanan. Of the Rabbanan, okay.
So it's not listen. So it's never to listen to the Rabbanan.
Right, and it sounds like there's no mitzvah from the Torah to listen to them. It's just that it's an Aveira to disregard them. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So we should be back at square one according to this. We should be still stuck. Because if I go ahead and I'm doing a mitzvah derabanan, then I'm not fulfilling a deraisa. I'm just not violating a deraisa.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Should I say it again?
Yeah.
Again. There's an aveira in the Torah called lo sasur. Don't disregard the rabbis. Don't disregard them. So when you disregard them, you eat bread without washing. So it's possible you're violating a din deraisa. Yeah? You with me on that? But when I do wash my hands, am I fulfilling a mitzvah by washing my hands? What mitzvah am I fulfilling? Listening to the rabbis? It's no mitzvah to listen to the rabbis. There's not favor to disregard them.
It's not.
Right?
I have a question on that, though.
Yeah.
What if two rabbis are arguing with each other and you listen to one rabbi over the other? Doesn't that mean that you're ignoring the second rabbi?
So the truth is that this pasuk applies to the Sanhedrin. And there's a whole discussion if it applies to like the Gedolei Hador. Sefer Chinuch discusses, that's an interesting question. So, but we'll treat that like Chazal. No, there's a whole, without developing the Mahalach right now, Ochanan and others, they say that our Gemara, the conclusions of the Gemara, have the status of a decision of the Sanhedrin.
So,
because Klal Yisrael has accepted Shas. So because of that, we're going to assume that any din that appears in the Gemara, that's called, you know, lo sasur. You can't ignore, you can't disregard what it says in the Gemara. And to a certain extent, the way we pass it, maybe whatever, that's a little more complicated. But let's assume whatever it says in the Gemara is binding upon us as if the Sanhedrin had said it. So to disregard a din derabanan found in Shas would be a violation of lo sasur. But if a person does what it says in Shas, is he fulfilling a mitzvah deraisa? What mitzvah? It's if he disregards it, he violates something. But if he fulfills it, then he's not doing any particular mitzvah. With me?
Yeah,
actually. Yeah,
so, if we're going with this like mahalach that like if we don't follow certain like rabbanan, then like, it could be like we're avoiding a bear with deraisa,
right?
So, wouldn't that work with the cases that Rashi gave?
Okay, so I need one more step here. So, if Rashi is going to say that you're exempt from sukkah because you're listening to the rabbis, it seems like it doesn't help us. Because we haven't figured out how to make that a mitzvah deraisa yet. And why should it be that if I'm doing a mitzvah derabanan, I'm exempt from a deraisa? How does that make sense? So I want to make the following suggestion, based on something Rav Elchanan says over here also, but I'm making a certain connection. So to hear me out and argue with me if you don't like it. When it says in our pasuk, you're exempt, when are you exempt and when are you chayav? How did the pasuk say it? It was one little letter. What was that letter? That little chaf sofis at the end, right? Because it's v'lechtecha v'derech. Shiftecha v'veisecha v'lechtecha v'derech. So how do you read that? You're obligated when the source of your obligation is
you.
You're obligated when the source of your derech, the source of what you're doing, is you. What if the source of what you're doing is not you?
Rabbis, hey, I need the rabbis.
See, well, so that's the problem, right? So then you'll say, the source of what I'm doing is not me, then I'm exempt. So if your brother asks you to do it, what? Okay, it doesn't make any sense. So let's say it like this. If the machayev, if the root of why you're doing this is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a mitzvah, then you're exempt. If the root of what's obligating you to do it is your own rishus, so then you're a chayev. So even though I'm not actually osek in a mitzvah when I go to greet my Rebbe, but why am I doing it? What's the mechayev? Am I doing it out of something that's optional? Or am I doing something that I'm obligated to do? Because what happens if I don't do it? I violate los asur. So do I have to do it? Yes. So what I just did was, what I'm trying to suggest is, even though when you go to greet your Rebbe, you're not actively doing a mitzvah saseh, but you don't need that in order to be exempt. Why not? Because we know that even when a person is traveling, he's considered osek b'mitzvah, right? He's not doing the mitzvah yet. He's going to do the mitzvah, but he's considered osek b'mitzvah. Why is an osek b'mitzvah putter? Because he's doing a mitzvah now? No, because the motivator, the reason why he's doing it, what's compelling him to do it, is an obligation. Well, if it's a din d'rabbanan, is there an obligation? Is what's compelling you to wash your hands before you eat bread, is it an obligation or is it optional? The answer is that it's an obligation. What makes it an obligation? Because if you don't do it, you violate the usur. So it's at the root of your obligation, what's motivating you to do it. Why are you doing it? Is it optional? When you're chayav. If it's obligated by Torah, so then you're exempt. So even though this guy that's on his way to greet his Rebbe is fulfilling a mitzvah derabbanan, and you'll say, well then why should he be exempt from a deraisa? So when you go back to the pasuk, it could be that the pasuk is telling you what it really depends on is why you're doing it. Or why you're obligated to do it. We would call it the mechayev. What obligates him. If what obligates him is the Torah, so then he's exempt. If what obligates him is his own decision, so then he's chayev. So even though going to greet your Rebbe, you're not fulfilling a din d'oraisa right now, but that's not what matters. What matters is the mechayev of what you're doing, if what obligates your activity right now, is that your own decision, or is it a d'oraisa? The answer is, in this case, it's a deraisa, because if you don't do it, you're violating it.
So you're exempt.
So you'd be exempt. And that would explain Rashi.
But it's all about like your mindset, kind of, right? Because like,
No, it's all about the activity that you're doing. Are you obligated to do this, and therefore doing a deraisa?
What does that mean, you? What does that mean? What? When it says cha, what does that at the end, what does that mean in your way?
That's what we're trying to say, that it's a rishus. It's not an obligation. Not an obligation. Anyway, that's an approach. You'll think about it. Yeah. Okay, so let's just finish up the Gemara. So the Gemara says, where are we? Okay, four lines from the bottom. V'hozek v'mitzvah patim in a mitzvah mihacha nafka. Is a person that's involved in a mitzvah exempt from another mitzvah, mehacha, from here, nafka, learned out? Is it really learned out from here, from this pasuk in Shema? Mehasam nafka, from over there it's learned out. Over where? Disanya, as we learn in a braisa, vayiyah nashim esher hayu tumeim nefesh adam begoymer. And it was that there were certain people that were tamei to a dead body, lenefesh adam, to a dead person. Osam anashim mihayu. Wait, so what is it talking about? So bottom line is, and this is a pasuk that talks about Pesach Sheni, if you remember. There are certain people that were Tamei L'Nefesh Adam. They somehow had become Tamei Mace, and because of that, they were unable to bring Korban Pesach, and they said, Moses, it's not fair. He said, I hear that. Let me ask God. And so that's the beginnings of Pesach Sheni. Yeah? So who are these people? So the Gemara seems to be saying that that's the source for Osek B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah. Because apparently they were allowed to do what they did for this dead body. And the consequence was they were going to miss out on a mitzvah. So since they were Osek B'mitzvah, no problem. They're Patur from a mitzvah. They're exempt from Korban Pesach. So we'll work it out a little bit. Osek B'mitzvah Miyayu. Those men, who were they that were Tamei? The Gemara first says, Nosei Arono Shal Yosef Hayu. They were the ones who carried the coffin of Yosef. So this is Yosef Glili. If we had infinite time, we would now go into the sugya of Tzadikim. Is it really Tumah by Tzadikim? Is that Tumah by Tzadikim? How does this work? I thought Yosef was like one of these great Tzadikim. Isn't there some kind of concept that Tzadikim are Tumah or something like that? Anyway, it's a fun topic, but Rabbi Akiva says, no, it was not those who carried the Aron of Yosef for some reason. Maybe they had enough time to become Tor because they put down the coffin long enough ahead of the time. Like, why is that such a big deal? Like, they had plenty of time to become Tor, no? No, they were Mishael ve'El Tzafan Ayu. Who are Mishael and El Tzafan? You remember? B'nei Uziel, Dod Aron. They were relatives of the ones that died. Shayuoski Menadav Aviu. Menadav and Aviu went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim or whatever exactly they did, and they died. So somebody had to take them out. So it was Mishael ve'El Tzafan that took the bodies out. So they became Tamei. When was that? That was when the Mishkan was established, right? So we're talking about right before Pesach. So they didn't have enough time, apparently, to become Tohar before bringing the Korban Pesach, because that's when the episode happened. Rabbi Yitzchak says, "Im nosei aron shel Yosef hayu." How could this be? If you're going to claim, like Reza Glili, that is those who carried the coffin of Yosef, kvar hayu yuchod, and they tahir. Already they were able to become Tohar. They had enough time to become Tohar. Im yishol v'atzafan hayu, and if they were yishol v'atzafan hayu, also yuchod hayu litahir. They also could have become Tohar in that amount of time. It wasn't 6 days before Pesach. It was early. It was Rosh Chodesh, whenever it was when that happened. Eloiskin b'meis mitzvayu. There were people that were involved. Somebody died. Stam, whoever it was, doesn't matter. Somebody died. It had to be buried. And these are the people that were involved. They contacted the dead body, and they became Tamei. Shechal Shvi Shalan Liosmer of Pesach. And it was mamish 6 days before they brought the Korban Pesach. And he needed 7 days for Parah Aduma. So they didn't have enough time for the seventh day. They got stuck. How do I know it was the sixth day? Maybe it was the first day. How does he know it's the sixth day? And it was the next day they could have been come to her. He said, because the Pasuk says they weren't able to bring that Korban Pesach by Yomahu on that day. That day they were unable to bring it, to do it. But the next day they would have been able to do it. They missed it mamish by a day. So that's the kasha. So what do you mean? So the Gemara assumes this is called Osek B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah. Anybody have a problem with that? Is that the same thing? They were involved with a mace mitzvah, meaning they didn't have to, right? They could have left the body there to rot. So they started being involved with that mitzvah, even though what was the consequence? They knew they wouldn't be able to bring Korban Pesach 6 days later. So they're Osek B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah. Is that the same thing? How's it different?
This one seems like it's like picking and choose which one. It doesn't sound like they're doing this case, but it's like if we take the bodies to bury them, then we won't be able to do Korban Pesach, which means that if we were thinking about this today, then we would think that burying bodies may be a better mitzvah than Korban Pesach because they had the option to do either one. It's basically choosing one over the other.
But are they obligated in Korban Pesach right now?
No, but they will be, and then doing this other mitzvah.
It's doing what they're doing now.
It's almost like a long-term thing, you know? It's like thinking ahead.
Yeah.
If I do this now, I won't be able to bring Korban Pesach 6 days from now. That's Osek B'mitzvah. Patur Min HaMitzvah? Meaning, no, you do what you have to do now. Who cares about consequences?
True.
So the Gemara says, Tzricha, we need both of these psukim. D'iyash minan hasam. That if you'd only tell us over there, meaning the case of those who were Tamei, Mishum Dolomat is Manchiyuv de Pesach. So the reason they were allowed to do it was because it didn't arrive the obligation of Korban Pesach. It did not arrive yet at the time of the obligation of Korban Pesach. Avahacha, but here in our case of Sukkah, the Mata Zman Krishma, or whatever the case may be, where the Zman of Krishma has arrived, and now you want to know, should I stop one mitzvah to do another? To Imalo. So maybe you say, well, that's different. To put aside a mitzvah that hasn't happened yet, that you're allowed to do. But once the mitzvah's already happened, so then, you can't push one aside for another when it's already there. Tzricha, so you need both. V'yashmin and hachra, if you only tell us our case of the mission over here, of oseg mitzvah, when it already arrived the time of the mitzvah, mishim deleka karis. Maybe that's only because the mitzvah that you're pushing off doesn't involve karis. So then, you're allowed to push off the new mitzvah because it's not a karis mitzvah. Remember we discussed, briefly, we don't know the reward of mitzvahs, but averos, we know which one's worse than another because of the punishment. There are two mitzvahs asay that if a person doesn't do it, gets karis. What are they? One is just been told to us. Brismila, and what are we discussing? Karmbeza. Those are two mitzvahs that if a person doesn't do it, gets karis. Okay, so now you have a sense that those are very, very important. So to say osek b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah, so then we would have said from Kriya Shema, okay, a regular mitzvah, but not a mitzvah with karis.
But when you have
Pesach
Sheni,
it's
for
this.
That's
it's
day.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, who says you're obligated in it? Who says you're allowed to push it off?
No, but like there's a mitzvah you can do now, and there's still an opportunity for you to fill a form of Pesach.
Right, okay, that's a good point. That's a good point.
It's not like you're definitely moving on Korban Pesach. You definitely have another chance for Korban Pesach.
Right. Okay, but just to finish the Gemara says, so then if we'd only have the Pasuk of Kriya Shema, we would have said, Mishum Deleka Karis. That in that case, the Pasuk is just dealing with regular mitzvahs. They don't have Karis, Aval Hasam. But in a case where it means you're going to have to push off a mitzvah that involves Karis, not that you're going to get Karis, but a mitzvah that involves Karis, the Ika Karis, Eim Aloy, maybe there you would not be allowed to push it off. So tzrichas, you need both cases. You need both cases. Okay, so let's just quickly chazer what we covered in the Gemara. So the Gemara starts off with the Mishnah that says shluchei mitzvah are exempt from sukkah, and then cholin misham sheyen, and then ochlin mishosin arai. So we only dealt with the first part so far. How do you know that people who are on their way to do a mitzvah are exempt? So the Gemara has this idea of people that are on their way to do a mitzvah. They are uvelechtech of a derech. It's only v'lechtecha v'aderech. You're on your way to your own mitzvah. But if it's something you're obligated to do, it's to your own rishus, you're on your way to do a rishus. But if you're on your way to do a mitzvah, so that's called osek v'mitzvah patur min mitzvah, even if you're not doing the mitzvah yet. Gemara deals with all those psukim. Chasan, almana, and the Gemara has another possible source for it. And we also discussed Rashi, that has, what about a din d'rabbanan? What about a din d'rabbanan? So my interesting argument is that maybe you're obligated in it, and that is what makes it a deraisa, even though you're not makayim in actual deraisa by doing the thing itself.